Hello everyone, you're listening to the Debug Log, episode 15. Today's episode is all about networking. We will discuss some of the differences between UDP and TCP networks, some of the different options you have for Unity networking, from Photon to Unity's own UNet. Make sure you listen till the end, because we finish the episode with one of Eduardo's favorite topics, best practices. That's right, we'll go into some of the do's and don'ts of networking. So without any further gilding the lily, here is the Debug Log, episode 15.
I've made my own gaming scene, so...
Networking is great.
Everything works perfect, guys.
That's why I run my simulations.
My mating simulations.
It's funny, 814 simulations.
2.4 years. Light years, it is.
That's distance, buddy.
Shut up.
You're listening to the Debug Log, a podcast about Unity game development. My name's Andrew Curry.
I'm Albino Parra.
I'm Zach Schneider.
I'm Ryan Kilgore.
And I'm Eduardo Casilla Fernandez.
Eduardo, man.
Everybody's here again. Everybody's back. Five people.
Why are you always giggling at the intro?
Because it's so awkward. There's always a weird pause.
That's true. It takes us like 15 minutes to get through everybody.
It's a roll call. Impressive. But now we're combining our Captain Power planets again, once again, to bring you a pretty hefty episode. We've done some fun ones, and we've done a lot of Unite ones in a row that people might be sick of, but this one is a heavy hitter. This is the most, one of the foundations of gaming, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
For networking, multiplayer,
there's a lot of games that aren't networked, so well, I kind of spilled it.
Bust my balls.
I spilled it.
Tonight's all about networking. We're going to talk a little bit about what networking is, the different types of protocols and such, and then the different plugins we've had some experience with in Unity. And then, as always, we'll wrap up with some best practices that, you know, basically, we talked about the mistakes we made and not to make those in the future. So I guess we can start off with just some basic, a little networking 101.
Networking.
And then there's crickets.
I slipped through that course many a time.
Yeah, I didn't go to the class.
I think it's every time we have Ryan, you know, supposed to pick up something, he always is like, when do I go in again?
Yeah. You know, he clubbed me over the head with it. So networking, you know, nowadays there's, you know, plenty of higher level packages and things of that nature to, you know, get you up and running really fast. And you don't have to necessarily worry about some of these lower level details, but they're good to know just so you know what your, you know, higher level packages may be doing under the hood. And so, you know, we're like deep down at the bottom of them all, you're getting down to two basic protocols in networking, which are UDP and TCP. And UDP is, I think it's Unified Datagram Packet, and then TCP is Transmission Control Protocol. And they're both used for two very different reasons, but they're both used to transmit data across the network. So UDP, you can kind of remember as the unreliable data protocol, which is exactly how it operates. Is it's a best effort protocol. So basically, when you've got, say, some information to send from a server to a client, it'll break it all up into these little packets of information that are addressed to the client. And UDP just sends them out the door, and, you know, it just doesn't look back. It's like, here you go, here you go, here you go, here you go. And if they get lost, if they get out of order, it's up to the client to figure it out, or an established protocol between the client and server to actually get things sorted out. So that's just the real quick, lightweight, dirty way to send information. Then on the other side of the fence, you've got TCP, which actually does a lot of error handling, a lot of ordering, actually all error handling and all ordering for you. So when it's sending it out the door, you know, it'll guarantee the order that your client receives those packets in. It may not receive them in that order, but it'll feed them back to the application in that order. And it'll also make sure all the packets get there. So if, you know, if a packet gets dropped, it'll automatically re-request it from the server and then, you know, put it back in its proper place in the information stream. So that at the core of any sort of, you know, networking is what you're going to be dealing with. with. Is it sort of an unreliable, like quick and dirty stream, or, you know, the heavier and more, you know, it costs more to transmit over the wire, but it'll guarantee, you know, receiving reception and order and things of that nature. So, and that's those two protocols in a nutshell.
Word up. Nicely done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nicely done. Thank you. See, I didn't sleep through that class. I lied.
Yeah, actually, one thing that you missed that, you know, is kind of core to every...
Man, you were like giving people a shot tonight.
But, freaking, you know, it's just one of those common phrases that you... Just one of the common...
Actually.
Whatever. I'm just saying, it's one of those common phrases you hear in networking classes, just that three-way handshake with TCP and just, you know, the SYNACK and... SYNACK or whatever. Anyway, that's the one thing I want to say, you know, because every networking class that you go into, they're always going to say, you know, pay attention to that three-way handshake with TCP, and that's that secure connection. And
oh, absolutely. And you actually, with UDP as well, you've got to, you know, if you're using a socket connection and you're still sending those UDP packets over a socket. So you're right, though. There is an initial sort of back and forth between the client and server of like, hey, you know, are you my guy to talk to about this? And then, you know, if it's on the right, you know, socket port, it'll be like, yes, I am that guy. So let's, you know, like you said, synchronize and acknowledge before we start sending anything. And once that acknowledgement's established, then you can start sending data. Yeah.
Word up.
There's your filler.
Thank you. Thank you for wrapping it up.
Is it good enough now?
Your B has changed to an A.
Exactly. Oh, man.
All right. Now we'll move on. Oh, that's it. We'll move on to like just the Unity. I mean, there's a lot of solutions. Now there's a more native solution, but over the past, since Unity started, there's always been people trying to hack their own networking solution, and they come in all different shapes and sizes. So what's somebody's favorite of the non-native ones that they've used in the past?
I don't know whether I have any favorites.
It's like, I hate them all. I don't know.
Well, as Ryan always says, roll your own. No. But I think the first one that I used, was it Super WebSockets? Just WebSockets. That was like a package that you could get in the Unity Asset Store. It was not as intuitive as I would have liked. In fact, the second one that I used, TNet, was much more intuitive and had a little better documentation. Still not the best.
TNet has no documentation.
I mean, at least it had some website to go to.
They have a page.
Yeah.
TNet documentation.
That's where you downloaded it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got functions.
But yeah, I think that was one of the first real networking projects that I worked on with TNet. And I worked on that with you, Andrew, right?
Yeah. And TNet was an interesting thing. And I don't know, there's different flavors of those packages, but I was just wanting, a lot of times I want something, we just needed a solution that would, like, I just want to send a message and not send a message, you know, like just send explicit calls.
Right.
But with TNet, you have to, it's really built for syncing like game objects. And so that becomes frustrating. So you set the script on a game object and say, sync this position with this position on this server. And that works, but all we want to do is send data. So we had to make duplicate game objects and then they had remote function calls, right?
Right.
In there. And basically where you're like sending a message to another, to the client to call a function locally. So it worked and we had somewhat success with it. But if you're just trying to send straight up messages to another client, you had to work around it.
I think it was the only instance of a TCP network that wasn't reliable at all in receiving messages.
Well, the network wasn't reliable.
Because we would send messages and it just would never get to one of the clients. And we have three other clients that receive the message.
And I don't know how much of that has to do with, they have like built-in queuing and batching,
right,
built in. So they have a function where it's like, well, send it. And if you've got disconnected, we'll save those. We'll queue those up. And then when you reconnect, we'll throw all those messages back at them. But I think it has to do more with that system, because then we just lose messages. Like, this network just eats messages randomly. And depending on network traffic, but at least you still would think with that TCP, you're getting some kind of transaction thing going on. But TNet was one of those things. It's the same people that made InGUI,
right,
to share and company. And TNet seemed like a side project where InGUI was the superstar.
Mm.
But at the time, it was the only one, because we were looking for one that did local networking.
It wasn't the only one. It was just the quickest we could use.
I think it was one of the ones we could use. Yeah. I mean, but yeah, as far as the native, like just building an object in SDK in Unity, like .NET library, it was the only one that kind of did that easily enough. Mm-hmm. So, and it served its purposes. It's not bad, but I mean, it's worth a try. How much was it? It's like $50 or something too, like they all are.
Yeah.
But again, I don't even know if it's still supported, but TNet, good old days of TNet.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's pretty cool. Maybe it was because the project that I was working on didn't require communication between different users, just a server and one user. But I mean, one client. But okay. It worked pretty fine for me. And, you know, the IDs, the way to communicate within IDs or calling the name of the function was pretty easy to understand and set up.
Yeah, I think that's one of the pros for that is it was relatively easy to just jump just right
one
in.
Script.
Yeah.
Logic. Uh-huh.
It was exactly. Start network, connect with using the IP address, and then bam, you can send messages rather easily using the RPC, the remote function calls.
Yeah, the only problem that Zach and I had was the connection problem. And with the custom solution, it was fixed. Can we say the solution here, guys, or we cannot do that?
Or will we get fired?
okay.
Well, they also, in, I think one of their later releases, they had a UDP lobby. So you could actually, it would just send out, hey, this is, I'm a server and I'm running this application. And if you're running the same application, you actually get a list of servers running that application. You can join. That still wasn't as stable as I would have liked it to be. But it was a good alternative to having to, okay, what was my IP address, and then send or type in the IP address in the client and connect. So,
wait, was that thing was that the thing I wrote you?
Go ahead.
Wasn't that thing I wrote you? Was that part of, or was that part of TNet? Because I wrote something like that at one point when I was with you guys.
You were, I'm not sure which project the TNet was.
You wrote the auto discovery stuff.
Yeah. You call that unreliable?
Yeah.
I don't think it was your code. I think it was TNet.
No, dude, I'm just messing with you.
I'm just kidding.
I didn't mean it, shit. Brian. I didn't mean it. Oh, well, I know that.
Some of the other ones we had, I think with one of the projects that Obina worked on, he used Photon, right?
Yeah, that's
oh yes, Photon. Yeah, Photon's a big hitter in Unity, especially in Unity. I guess developers who are getting things networked at least prior to Unity's newest UNet release. But yeah, Photon was a big hitter, and we used that for.
And it's still supported though. They're at Unite, so I mean.
Yeah. You mean Photon?
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. I mean,
it's, well, that's our problem with TNet, as opposed to like this is a thing that's supported and documented. So right. It's a good.
Yeah. So what was I saying? Photon. Yeah, Photon has like all of the things you would expect out of a networking suite, like Unity. So you know, you have your lobbies. You have having local LAN servers. And these are like things that come out of the box. It's like just. Set an instance of this U lobby or and something like that, and then you can get it to work in little to no time and get that all up and running. And what they also have, they have something called Photon Pun, which is Photon. It's like their cloud. I probably should know this. Their cloud service. It's called Pun though, and Pun Plus. And you can actually grab that off the asset store as well. And what that does, it like gives you like a cloud key that you can hook up to their Photon networking suite, and you just pick the region that you're in, and then that will connect you to their Photon servers, the cloud servers, and then use that to have your clients connect to that Photon instance of your networking.
Photon a lot.
Yeah, I've said Photon. I've said networking. I've said a lot. I mean,
Photon,
but
Photon.
Well, anyway, that's the nature of this beast that we're talking about. Anyway,
and I think Photon is actually free for up to 20 users, right?
Yeah. They have like the free pricing as well, and yeah, I mean I think that's another reason a lot of people have gravitated towards it. At least prior to Unity's package, they had like again, you, like you said, you can get that for free, and then I think their Pun Plus, which I think the differences are like the concurrent users that you have running at a time. With the Photon Plus, you have up to, I think, 100 concurrent users, you know, real time that can be connected to your instance on Pun, again, which is that that's the cloud based server. You could also have Photon hosted locally or, you know, on your own servers as well. So I have the price on that Pun Plus, I think, is $95. So anyway.
It's relatively affordable.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there's a lot that goes into Photon, and there, another thing about good thing about Photon is the documentation is what I would call, you know, spectacular for any third party plugin. It's really good. It's really easy to get up and running. Really, the documentation is easy to understand. It's not like, you know, some 1999, you know, GeoCities website with everything just plastered on a page. It's really clean, really slick looking, and, you know, and helpful. So that's another plus about Photon is the documentation is perfect to me. What else can I chat about?
Out of their documentation in their website, how did you find the documentation in internet in general, like other videos and stuff like that?
See, the thing about Photon, again, is the community is really large, for especially for Unity developers. So people have
Unite Talks and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So people have been using them for a while. There's a big community behind them. You know, a lot of the Unity answers are, if they're talking about networking, they're sometimes usually talking about, you know, Photon networking. So, I mean, the documentation, the community-driven documentation, you know, examples are out there. There's a lot of that out there on YouTube, on, you know, on Unity Answers, on Stack Overflow. They're all out there, ready for you to consume. And like I said, that's why I really like Photon again, is the documentation is pretty huge for, you know, not the built-in Unity networking suite. So
doesn't Raphael know the CEO?
Raphael knows about pretty much every CEO for every game.
Let me send him an email. I'm like,
exactly. How do you know this guy? He's like, I have the Minesweeper guy on speed dial. Like,
yeah.
What? Minesweeper?
All right.
I know the guy who made Minesweeper.
No, he's just the guy that plays Minesweeper all day. Oh,
exactly. It's his buddy. He's just, he's in Singapore, just plays a lot of Minesweeper.
So I think the last one we can go into depth here about is UNet, right? So that's the new Unity's networking built-in system. And it's something I've actually had a little bit more experience with than the other ones. Anybody else want to talk about it before I go into detail?
No, go ahead.
I thought you were calling us the other ones. It's like, ouch. All right. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go for it.
All right. Well, UNet is the brand new Unity's version. They had a previous version of networking. It was just their documentation wasn't very good, and I didn't really use a lot of it. But they just released, this was released in, was it 4.6 or I can't remember. Anyways, it's pretty dynamic in what it does, and it's actually really easy to set up. They have a full set of tutorial videos that they release with it. And I'd say within the second video, you already had a dedicated server running with you could have as many, I think as many as 8 characters on the same screen, all moving and syncing position and rotation. And I mean, that was probably, I'd say about 20 minutes of work to get that up and running. So it was really, really quick and relatively easy to use. They didn't quite fit what I needed for it. I needed something more like what we had running with TNet, which is just send messages that would call remote functions in the client. So I used, they have like a message base class, and we just took that class and we made separate types of messages. So messages that contain a string, messages that contain an int, or whatever combination of said data types. And then attached a constant to it, so just a constant int.
And that way, when we set up a handler on the client to listen for that constant, and it would know, okay, this constant goes with this function. So I've received a message, and it could be any message that I sent. So it could be the int or the string, but because it's paired with that constant, it'll call that function on the client, which was,
is that setting up your own, I guess, protocol or message handlers where, you know, it's like, oh, when this comes across the wire, it has sort of like this message ID of 5. So yeah. Then you'll maybe like, I don't know, whatever, switch through a statement and be like, oh yeah, it's 5. You need to call function XYZ. And then you'll know that those parameters to unpack are appropriate for that function, I guess. It's kind of like, I've never used it. So
that's exactly what.
Okay, cool.
That it has like UNet has several different layers. So it has this super high level layer, which you can just throw it in there. You instantiate game objects on the server based on who's connected. And then they have this layer, which is, okay, just sending data and calling functions. And then one that...
Don't die.
I know, right? And especially don't do it on camera. Or
yeah, right?
On audio.
Mic? Anyway. Mic. the lower level is something that Obina found, because we were having issues with sending... like bigger data packages across. I think it's the network transport layer, and basically you can set the like your package stats and things. So you can set your byte size of each of your packets and how many packages can be sent over the network at a time. So it's a little lower level for people who are maybe more advanced or need a networking solution that is more dynamic than what is prepackaged. I've only had a few issues with UNet, and I'm pretty sure they're going to address them rather soon. And then the biggest one is timeouts. So if you send a message and say it doesn't get called in the update or it doesn't get across to the server or the client you can set the buffer time. But if it doesn't get there in time, then it basically times out and says you've disconnected, which will stop you from receiving any new messages. You basically have to reconnect. And that is basically the solution I have for it, is just if you receive the timeout error, then just reconnect and you'll actually receive that call, because it's a TCP network and it saves all those calls. So it's pretty... It's very dynamic and rather easy to use, and probably the easiest to use that I've come across so far.
Oh man, I'm kind of jealous. I want to use UNet. I haven't used it yet, and I really want to use it. I'm more after Unite, where I listened to the talk in networking, where they say that they're going to include a new multiplayer feature. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to include it to UNet or a whole system, a separate system or something like that. I think it's UNet.
They just came out with on YouTube the videos about that today, like tutorials.
Yeah, they say they have a part implemented, but they're also working in a host recovery, just in case the host, let's say that we're playing peer-to-peer and the host leaves the game. Well, one of the others can be the new host, and then the former host can join the game again. So I thought that's pretty cool.
That may already be implemented. I don't remember exactly, but I think I've come across this situation and it just migrated the host to one of the clients. Again, don't quote me on that. I don't remember whether I think that's what happened, but I could have just been completely wrong.
No, actually, I think that it will do that, because there's a buddy of mine at work was messing with something with a side project, and you know, we had the devices, and it sure enough transferred host pretty smoothly. So,
yeah, and so that whole thing with UNet that you mentioned, Eduardo, that multiplayer services, that's like a whole other layer on top of, I guess it's on UNet, but they're services, and like I'm also servers built around setting up different multiplayer things, so. That's a cool thing. They're going to provide that with Pro, I guess. And I guess you have to pay for it otherwise. So that's another shortcut if you don't want to really get into some of this stuff fully. Run your own server and everything.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. It is.
any other plugins you guys feel strongly about before we we've had experience. I know you've been with Ulink and SmartFoxes. I know Ryan did. I remember SmartFox used to be like an old Flash server, like from Flash games. People used to use SmartFox.
Yeah, actually, I was just checking out their website earlier today, and seems like they've got a lot of integration for other platforms too. Like I saw iOS mentioned, Unity, Windows 8, 10, whatever. I mean, it's not bad, and it's free as well. The documentation I found a little lacking. It's, you know, hey, I deoxygened it, and just go look at that, and whatever the developer decided to leave in the comments section. Yeah, you know, I mean, it really was kind of what it was, and you know, the community helped out, and you know, we were. The company I was at the time, you know, we were communicating with the actual people at SmartFox, so we kind of got some special help. But I mean, overall, it wasn't bad. It's, you know, pretty quick to start up and use. Like, the protocols are real simple. It's, you know, you basically are just kind of, you know, have a key-based dictionary to send messages with, and you just kind of, like, you know, build those up real fast and shoot them across the wire. But I mean, yeah, definitely another solution. Like I said, free for, I think, under 200 users, or at least it was at the time. And we, you know, we ran some multiplayer games off of it, and it didn't do too bad. And I mean, that's one nice thing is with all these solutions is they're off the shelf solutions and things that have been, like, tested and battle hardened to a degree. Because I mean, you could always write your, like as Zach said, roll your own, and then, you know, like, build a DLL, throw it in plugins, and have your own network interface. But at the same time, now you've got to debug it. You've got to make sure everything works, that it's not sending too much data, et cetera, et cetera. And we'll get to some of those things because they tend to be best practices. So.
Right. And Andrew, you mentioned Ulink, and I'd probably be remiss and probably get made fun of or I guess screamed at if I didn't talk about Ulink a little bit, which is what I'm using for that MMO I'm working on. And Ulink, I do love. It's a great networking solution by Much Different. And it's so tightly woven into Unity games and Unity, well, I guess the game workflow for network games in Unity, so much so that you have they have like a part that's called UGameDB, which handles all of your, you know, database, I guess, requirements and needs for your game. So whether you're storing player data, account data, mobile / critter / AI data, all that stuff on a database, which the backend is, run on a React database, which is a NoSQL, NoSQL. Database. So that, and that, and then they have, you know, the way React works, it has like, there's a lot that goes into React and databases, of course. But you know, they have like a cluster set up, and the way that it shares and replications and works with React and it being a NoSQL database, it's transactions and pulling and writing data is super, super quick and super, super fast for Ulink and UGameDB. So it's something that, you know, if you're looking for a game engine or some backbone, or networking solution / database solution, for a network game that you need to scale well, that's going to scale well,
There you go.
That's going to scale well. So it's something you definitely want to look into because it's worked wonders for us already. But then again, you know, it's still, we haven't had so much load testing yet, but you know, I guess on paper, it does look really good as far as scalability goes. So yeah, I mean, Ulink and itself, and they have like Pico, I think Pico Server, which is another. And this is all written in UDP. We've talked about TCP and UDP. Ulink is all UDP, but they've implemented like certain, I guess, functionality so that it, you know, you can secure, I guess, require some reliability from the, I guess messages that you send on Ulink. So, I mean, it's really good networking solution through and through. So I would definitely check it out. We'll definitely put that in the show notes as well as all the other ones, of course. But if I were to plug one in particular, it would be Ulink and its power and how well tightly woven it is to Unity. So, and the documentation on Ulink is amazing too. So that's another plus.
And since you write the show notes, you're definitely going to.
Exactly. I'm going to put that in bold and highlight it.
The bestest one.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So.
Well, cool. So I mean, outside of those, so there's two sides of the story there. So you can have these plugins that are at varying degrees of maturity and support and community size. And then you also, you know, you can all roll your own, like we talked about, but that might not be much more than experimentation unless you have a big team and you can have a team to support that. But moving into, so say like these, if people are going to check out one of these libraries, just in general, what are some, just from a pre-built solution, what are some things and best practices they need to watch out for as they move into start testing this? Cause it's like everything's provided, but they can still screw themselves if they don't actually set up the projects correctly.
Right. And on that note, I mean, I have a little experience in screwing things up, as some of you guys may know, but
I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say a word.
We need an expert level.
Extra level screw up.
But we mentioned this in our best practices episode, but encapsulation, just like in terms of networking, I had an entire project made with TNet, and TNet was basically integrated into all levels of my scripts instead of being its own script that I referenced from another one or from my control script. And I had to basically, instead of being able to, okay, let me just replace my function calls in this one script to call another networking system, because we were changing everything over to UNet, I had to basically rewrite the entire program, which really, really stunk and nobody was very happy about. So encapsulation is very important here, especially with some of these, I guess, less mature plugins or solutions, because you might get halfway through and realize this isn't the solution for you and you need to change. And having all of that, all of your code in kind of a modular setup will make it easier for you to just switch out and use one of these other solutions.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. We, in a previous life, we actually had to do that. So we ended up writing a network interface where, the application was just blind at what the solution was on the back end. So that way, if we rolled our own, if we put in Ulink, if we put in SmartFox, whatever, it's like application doesn't care. It just throws data over the wall and it gets out the door. And you're right. It can, we had to learn the hard way from that too. It's like, okay, we're using this. And then, some mandate comes down. No, you're not using that anymore. And you're like, well, crap.
Yeah, well, then also it just protects you. Anytime you use a third-party plugin, and especially some Unity ones, because they might be run by one person, you need to protect yourself in case that gets switched. And you can't have to, you need to make your own API and your own interface structure so that if it gets switched, I'll just integrate a new one into that, and I don't have to actually change any of my, my metacode over the top of Unity.
Right,
right.
And I guess that goes along with having a generic structure. So make sure you name your function something that's not specific to that plugin. So say you want to call a RFC or a remote function call. Don't say, oh, RFC this, because with UNet, it's different. It's I think they call them like commands and so I think it's commands, and they have server calls and they have client calls. And so don't name something like, oh, this is the RFC this. And I mean, it may still work when you change over to a new system, but it's not as specific or too specific, I should say.
Yeah, that's a good advice. I mean, encapsulation and genericity or whatever you want to call it, mainly encapsulation are it's a main concept in computer science and in programming in general.
Yeah.
So that, and you can apply not only for networking, which is a topic today, but also for databases or anything IO, anything that you want to make, try to use encapsulation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like you said. I'm just going to reiterate.
I'm just going to keep agreeing with everything.
Exactly. That's so key, and it's a core foundation to programming and computer science in general. But I guess moving along is just another best practice. Is I know Eduardo was talking about the peer-to-peer game that he was playing and those transitions, but deciding before you get started with your game, before you get started, implementing any networking solution, whether you're rolling your own or you're implementing a third-party solution that we've mentioned, decide what kind of architecture you're going to have on the back end and the networking side. Is it going to be peer-to-peer? Is it going to be, you know, a client server? Or is it going to be completely authoritative server where, you know, clients are requesting every single, you know, move or every single action from the server? Because, you know, what can happen if you don't decide on this thing and you make strides to keep towards a certain architecture, you know, you're kind of tempted, depending on, you know, your experience with networking, to, you know, stray from the certain architecture. Like, you start doing things more peer-to-peer, you start doing things more on the client side and not always requesting things from the server. And that can really bite you in the butt as you go further down in the line, because it opens you up into things like, if you're trying to maintain that strict server client server architecture, it opens you up to, you know, security problems where clients have more access than they need to have to certain data structures or certain data, like, you know, hey, since you gave me access, I'm going to give myself 2 billion, you know, hit points or 5,000 mana or something like that.
Or even set my update loop to happen more than 60 times a second.
Or just kill all the clients on the server because I can't. So, yeah, definitely, you know, make sure you decide what you want to do as far as networking architecture before you get started, and make sure you keep to that structure throughout the process, and make sure every design decision you make sure it adheres to that networking architecture. So definitely keep that in mind as you start with any third-party solution or with any solution that you decide to road yourself. So
yeah, go ahead, Ryan.
No, I was just gonna say, you know, he's right, because all these are great, you know, third-party solutions that we've listed. But I mean, if you got a very simple game, you know, it could just use RESTful calls, and then you don't even need any of this. You could just use the www coroutines in Unity and just, you know, set up your own web server, and you just, like, say if it's, you know, a game that takes turns, something maybe like Hero Academy or something like that. You may just push a move and then send a push notification down to somebody else, and there you go. You don't need a client and a server. So
yeah, it all depends on what type of game and what your right. resources are too.
Yeah, because you don't want to open up like a socket connection and all this junk and run a server just to say, I just moved my knight to this square, and, you know, and then you're just going to be waiting for the next response. It's not real time. You don't need that. So
yeah. Like I was saying, I'm glad that Avina brought that up, the peer-to-peer versus client server, because that's a huge discussion in the programming environment. I mean, it involves security, speed, because think about it. If with client server, you have more security because everything is in your server. But if you have a bunch of clients and your server is overloaded, anybody's going to play your game. Or if your server get hacked, you're screwed. On the other hand, in peer-to-peer, you have more speed because you have your data distributed in your different clients, but you have duplicated data, and it's easier to get the information if you have sensible information that you don't want other people to access. So definitely you have to have that in mind when you design your application.
Yeah, and sometimes you get some really cool stuff out of that, though, because another game I worked on, like, they started pulling apart the network packets, and they started making a little mini map of where everyone was, and they released the source and showed it to us. We're like, oh yeah, that's pretty cool. We're gonna have to figure out a way to patch that, because now you can see where everyone is. But it was still kind of neat that, like, hey, they're so into the game, they're creating these little map hacks to, like, see where everyone is. And it was just like in another web page they'd have up and say, oh, that guy's over there now. And I was like, oh, that's neat. Cheaters.
Packet sniffers.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the things that I think is, I mean, it's not UNet specific, but it's some issues that I've run across while using UNet is watching your message size and in how many messages. So how many messages you're sending over the network at once. So I guess network congestion. I think UNet has a relatively low package size for a message. I can't remember the exact number right now. I'd have to look it up here in a second. But network congestion, I think it can only have it's either 15 or 16 messages per update loop. So it's not very many. And I think you might be able to change that and when using like the network transport layer. And also just some of the more advanced settings in the UNet lobby controller. Some of the assets that they actually give you. But just the standard out of the box version doesn't handle all that much. So I was actually able to overload it relatively quickly, and I couldn't figure out why I was receiving a whole bunch of errors. And it's because I was sending a string the size of a small paper. So you just need to watch your package sizes and the number of packages you're attempting to send. I know another instance of this is one of the guys I work with. He was making a chat program. And to have a little ellipses appear when somebody's typing, he's basically spamming that 60 times a second in update, and that would basically overload UNet and crash it. So you really have to nice. Pay attention to that. Sorry, what?
Yeah.
I said, wow, for just some ellipses, nice. That's impressive.
Yeah, right?
Well, you didn't say the ellipses. That's one hell of a...
It's one
hell. What were there, like 2,000 of them? Like, yeah, we're typing here. No, yeah, you're absolutely right about that, because you can blow it out pretty fast. We're doing some wireless stuff, and yeah, it's amazing how laggy things can get if you're just like you said, you're sending stuff out the door. Like your server's running at 60 frames a second, and each one of those frames, it's, you know, sending out a butt ton of data. All of a sudden, you know, you see the guy on the other client move, and then 5 seconds later on yours, he moves, and you're like, oh wow, that's not playable. So,
yeah, one of the cool things that UNet does is on the higher level, they have a variable sync feature. So you can actually sync your position and your rotation using just a standard component that they give you. And you can set how often it sends that positional data. But I found one of the cool things that you can do is you can actually set that relatively low and then just lerp between the time intervals that you receive that. So you just lerp your rotation and your position every time you receive new information. So
that's actually brings up to mind another best practice about, you know, dealing with new information or dealing with information being sent and received. And that is sometimes you don't have to sync or consume every message that's sent or received, you know, and you don't have to send every message that, I guess, how do I put this? It depends on the server. Like, you don't want to necessarily send every message that or every possible thing or data. And sometimes you want to, I guess, eliminate like duplicated data or data that hasn't changed since this last update or since the last message was sent. You know, so that way the client isn't, you're not flooding the bandwidth or you're not flooding information over the interwebs with data that hasn't changed. So you're just doing like a difference or doing not a difference, but a delta.
Deltas,
of change data that could save on bandwidth and save, you know, for the lagging and the frames rate and all that stuff. So that's another best practice is to, you know, do deltas on change data. There's some actually, I think some of the networking solutions out there do that on some variables or some data, but oftentimes I think more often than not you're actually that's something you would that'd be put on the programmer or the designer because they don't know. I mean,
yeah,
and you also want to make sure you also want to make sure you're sending you're not sending information that doesn't apply to a specific client. So if a client doesn't need the position of every other client, then you don't want to send that information. So,
yeah. And here's a good last pro tip. It's a best practice, but it's almost a way to like get information. Like when I started getting into game development stuff, even though we weren't developing games like this, when you start thinking about networking, how that works for bigger games, like bigger multiplayer games, like Halo or something. And you're like, where they're doing like bullet predictive, you know, mm-hmm. behavior, like where that bullet's going to end up, even though they don't know, like it's very strange stuff. Right. And usually if you're wanting to make a first person shooter or some other kind of popular multiplayer type of game, usually the dev blogs of those studios they have posted, or I know Bungie used to do this, but they'd have detailed posts, because the reason they do this is because they have a million users bitching about the performance of the network or something, that eventually the network admin guys goes, all right, listen, guys, this is exactly how it works. And they would describe in detail exactly how their predictive behavior works, how all their systems work. And they're really fascinating posts, because usually when you get those really rabid multiplayer fan bases, they just do that. And I guess it satiates them, where they just go, I don't understand. It still sucks, but it's like Rocket League, I know, is a game I keep like touting the praises of. They've talked about that a bunch, and I know Bungie did. I'm sure Call of Duty guys do. So that's a kind of a fun, that's a pro tip. That's a way you can get an insight into what the bigger guys are doing, and you can kind of steal their information. Go, oh, I'm going to use that and actually try to incorporate. Oh, they're giving it out. Incorporate that as much possible. Like
they told you.
Yeah, they literally told me. So yeah, there's fun. So check those out. Just check your favorite multiplayer dev and see what they have to share. I know Rust did that. We'd like Rust.
And even like Amazon. Sorry, this is a quick aside. Just Amazon recently did that reinvent talk, and they had a whole track about, you know, game dev, whether it's backend stuff, networking stuff. There's a lot of that stuff in there, so I would definitely check that out.
And if you don't know, if you're like, the Amazon, the ordering company, what are you talking about? Like that, Amazon runs every website that you go to on the internet, basically. their web services, they really do.
Oh yeah,
like, and so when Amazon goes down, like every internet site goes down. So
we're done.
That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're so used to that, but I don't wonder if somebody who didn't know that would be like, what?
Yeah.
Can buy
I'm not trying to buy books. I think they probably still think it's books if they don't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, I wanted to get in. Well, I just want one more best practice thing. I'll keep it short. Is when you're starting to set up, your multiplayer, your network solution, really sit down and like write out your protocols and think about the steps and the back and forth and the communication that's going to happen between the client and server. Because, I've seen many situations where like messaging happens out of order. People aren't thinking about, oh, well, what if somebody wants to join mid game? And so, you know, really thinking about how the two communicate and the process to establish the connection, to join a game, to join a lobby, you know, all the back and forth and ins and outs of how that happens. Just write that down, get that clear in your head before you even start coding any of it. So, and that's just,
cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Good one. All right, we have to end this, because we're going to start, every time we get into these substantive debates, like it starts getting into like Pandora's box of, oh, but also you can do this. And also, so the networking is a huge subject. So, I mean, yeah, there's books just dedicated to that. There's sites and all these other things. And like I said, there were a lot of great talks at Unite about that. So definitely there's a lot of free resources out there to check out. So cool. All right. Well, before we leave, guys, there's a little special time.
Oh my goodness. We
can't leave. Like
he loves to do that. Oh my god.
You gotta change it up a little bit.
What, you don't like it?
Before we leave tonight, we got Game of the Week.
There you go.
We got Eduardo to do it last time.
Feels good. Eduardo did it last time?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm getting better, Ryan.
Oh. We don't need you.
Better watch out. Ryan. I gotta show back up more.
Tonight's game of the week, or today, this week's game of the week is Kingdom Rush. And Kingdom Rush is a tower defense game that was super popular in iOS. And it was originally made in Cocos 2D, which is like the iOS game engine, like a simple 2D game engine. It's pretty cool, pretty slick. And I guess what they happened, they actually ported over to PC and more platforms and to Steam, and then they ported to Unity. So now we can say it's a Unity game, even though it didn't start that way. But I know, Zach, you've been playing the Steam version. You and Eduardo have been doing it.
Yeah, I think Eduardo's playing the iOS version.
Yeah, I'm playing the iOS version.
It's actually a super fun game. Like, I'm not into that many tower defense games, but this one actually really kept me engaged. And it was its difficulty increased the farther you got on, and normally that happens. But I played a lot of tower defense games that didn't really get difficult because you gain more powers, and then you just are able to obliterate, and they just keep throwing more and more minions at you. Whereas this one, they throw a bunch more different types of minions at you, so you have to keep changing your strategy in order to beat them. And then also one thing that sets this one apart is they give you a hero that you can you can place in you can keep moving them around and basically place them strategically where, say, your towers are weak on this one lane. You want to go put your hero over here to help out. and then they give you reinforcements so you can drop like two guys to help fight in other places to, I guess, you can use them to either kill or even just stall your enemy if you want them to stay longer underneath a certain tower. So it's very dynamic and very engaging. And it is actually one of my favorite mobile games that I've played recently.
Yeah, I love how it balances the speed of the minions and the strength. Like they have wolves that move really fast, but they're weak and stuff like that. They are the orcs or trolls. I think it's trolls. They are really, really strong.
It doesn't matter.
You know the difference?
Troll, wolf, same difference.
Oh, you're, no.
And also, they I think later...
Trolls are mountain-based creatures, guys.
You don't understand this.
Later in the game, they actually start attacking it. Well, not I shouldn't say attacking towers, because your towers don't really have health, but they'll basically stun your towers, so you have to like keep tapping really quickly to release your tower from the spell, quote-unquote. But, I mean, this mechanic is kind of cool, because it keeps you engaged. But at the same time, towards the later levels, it kind of gets a little annoying, in that you have you kind of have to just spam tap, and your attention is removed from. I guess that's the mechanic they're going for, but your attention is removed from the actual action in order to keep your towers active.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that, but it's only the last couple of levels, so it's cool. And overall, it's a really good art style, and it's really cohesive, and they got nice UI and nice effects and nice. It's just a really complete package, and that, and kind of, you can see why they've been so successful. So check it out. I don't know how much it is on Steam, but on iOS, the original version is free now, because they have a couple sequels. They have like Frontiers and something else, but check it out.
I think Rush. Brent was friend of the podcast and fellow podcaster, has the Out of Time podcast. I actually mentioned that to Kingdom Rush to me first. So that's where I found out about the game first, and it was really cool. So, shout out to Brent. Yeah.
Kingdom Rush.
Does he cross promote us? He
cool. Well, in the meantime, God, we're still getting back used to this. This is like feels so rusty. Yeah. In the meantime, if you want to send any questions, comments, criticism, show topic ideas in a personal manner, you can send it to thedebuglog@gmail.com. That's our email address, and we'll try to get back to you. We've had some people reach out to us from Unite, and that's been pretty cool. We also have a very cool Clubhouse lounge. Right?
Uh-huh.
It's called the Debug Lounge. It's our Facebook group. Uh-huh. Nobody wants to talk about it. But if you go to our website at thedebuglog.com, you can sign up for our newsletter, The Loop, which our second issue is pending some point. We have, if you sign up for that newsletter, you get access to the Debug Lounge. And we're still catching up on some of the subscriptions. But Debug Lounge is basically just a place where game devs, we can all share, you know, stories, questions, stupid gifts, whatever. Put it in there. It's fun. So check that out.
Yeah, at least they won't get a spam with our newsletters.
Yeah. Don't worry. We send out one every 4 months. So. You will not get spammed at all.
The laziest spammers ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool. Never. All right. Well, in the meantime, on Twitter, I'm at Andrew_Curry.
I'm at O'Beans at O with H, Beans with a Z.
I'll let Ryan go first.
I know my you're not now. On Twitter, you Luddite.
That may be the case.
And I'm at R.E. Kilgore on Twitter.
And this time I do remember mine. Eduardo CF in 1989.
And I don't have one, but I'm Zach Schneider.
He's a big Taylor Swift fan. I'm just kidding. Who isn't, though? Come on, guys. But, all right, well, this is weird. Well, anyways, that's all. We have some really cool topics and hopefully some really cool interviews coming up in the future that we're still trying to set up. So,
well, an interview that that may have applied to this topic is we're trying to get the UNET, is it the lead UNET programmer,
yep.
Eduardo?
Yes.
Yeah, we're trying to get him on for an interview, hopefully soon, to back up this one, so.
Yeah, so if you have any questions specific to UNET that you want answered, I mean, we'll post it before that once we set it up, but definitely, this is your chance. So, cool. All right, well, until next time, my name's Andrew.
That's Obina.
I'm Zach.
Ryan.
And I'm Eduardo.
We are so rusty.
With your powers combined.
Yeah. Hi. I swear, for me, it's been like 2 or 3 weeks since you guys were in Unite. I was just kind of like hanging out, you know.
It's been about a month since you recorded an episode. Anyway, bye, guys.
Bye.
See you, guys.
See you. Bye.
We kept laughing because every time you would go on a big monologue, you would just disappear.
I didn't hear it. I was like, what best advice is he even giving right now?
Yeah. Because the last time it was the most comedic because you go, I got one more thing right before it goes real quick.
Andrew ends it like, oh, that's a great idea.
Great advice. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Whatever. Wait for it.